everyone, hello and welcome to the Sports Opinion Show. I am your host, Evan Holley, broadcasting to you live from San Leandro, California. Now, I'd like to apologize in advance if the video or something. I have to I'm sorry, DVP is in the chat room with us. Ladies and gentlemen, the total show of 2013. I'm not sure what the future holds now for the following show. Entirely. I am not certain of anything at all at this point. But the what do we want to say? Feels right to be here with you all on the final show and what could be the final kickoff for the Sports Opinion Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And Matt Broderick has just got into the chat room himself. What's up, Matt? Thank you, Matt. That's right, Matt. I hope you all had a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. We here at the Sports Opinion Show and the entire NDB Media family hope you all had a merry, merry Christmas. Santa Claus was very good to me. I'm sure he was good to you. You know, somebody had given me an AMC Theater movie card for worth, they put $30 on it. I was like, wow, $30? For only a movie, Matt. But the only problem with that is we don't have an AMC theater in my area. The closest one is in San Francisco, California, that is. By the way, I am broadcasting to you live, ladies and gentlemen, from San Leandro, California. The other AMC theater location is in Emeryville, California, which is like a 25-minute drive. Other one, the only other AMC movie theater, Matt, is in my hometown in San Jose, California. That's a 45-minute drive. I told my friend that gave me that movie pass. I said, come on now. Why are you going to do that for? Why couldn't you get me a movie theater closer? He's like, well, I didn't think. I said, clearly not. That's a lot of gas. maybe I'll just take public transportation to the Emeryville one tomorrow and watch a movie. Matt, DDP, if you guys live here in California, I'd pitch in area would be awesome. Well, it's our after party Christmas. The after-party show, meaning that Christmas is over. But don't think that there's not presents to open right here on the Sports Opinion Show today. There is so much presents to unwrap that it's kind of funny and kind of not funny. And I know I touched on it a little bit. I apologize to DVP because last week he was the one that informed me of the situation going on in the UFC. And I only mentioned it. I didn't bring out the whole story of what is going on. So, DDP, right here, live on the air, I'd like to apologize to you, my friend. My bad. I only mentioned the issue, but I didn't address the issue at hand. See, the problem with UFC is they decided to do something so barbaric that was announced last Wednesday night at the UFC press conference on Fox and all the Fox affiliate channels. Dana White said that in preparation, most of the UFC, and for future references, they will now be raising their prices of pay-per-views. He said there's no other reason behind it. It's just something they feel needs to be done. Well, here we are a week later after his shocking announcement of the UFC that now people are starting to withdraw. People are telling me, Dana White, we're not going to order UFC pay-per-views anymore. We can't do it. There's no way to do it. I love the UFC. I highly support the UFC. It's just I can't support them financially. There's no way that's going to happen. So I hope the UFC takes this into consideration. DDP even took a picture of it, right? He took a picture of it and posted it all over social media and said, look what they did. That's when I found out about the press conference and about all these other things going on with UFC. But why? Why are you raising your prices at a time when, and I can speak for myself, I don't know about anybody else, but at a time when unemployment is staggering, especially in California. The unemployment rate in the whole United States, from California to Florida, it hasn't stopped. It's like management just comes out of the blue and they hand you your pink slip. Well, gotta lay you off. We can't afford you anymore. What? That's the problem with this country. I'm not going to go on a politics rant because I know several others here on the IndyB Media Network are better at that than I am. Roger Nobrega and, of course, our very own Couch Potato, they can explain this country better than anybody. And the main guy who can really explain it is our very own Lenny Melvick. Excuse me. But yeah, that is the problem. That is the issue with the UFC. And, you know, hey. It's now week 17 in the NFL. Forgive me because I was... And I know Matt Broderick is going to be like, you stupid bastard. You little bastard. Before the show, I've been... I just literally got back 5 minutes before the show aired so I could call in. But I decided to come home with some Chinese food. There. I'm sorry, Matt. I know I should have informed you. I've been getting Chinese food. But I didn't inform you, so I took it upon myself to just inform myself it's Christmas week. Oh boy. And this is the NFL's last stretch. There are things that are taking place right now with the NFL that have just really gotten to be quite ridiculous. I mean, if it all comes down to this one guy, the last week of the NFL regular season seems like it just started a week ago. My, how time flies. Well, just kidding. Well, let's pick some games. I'm not sure how I'm doing with the picks. Remember last week, Eric Williams said he may or may not be here this week, but we don't know if he will call in this week. But, you know, that said, being the last week of the season, it's really tough to figure out some of these games. A lot of teams have nothing to play for. Either they're in or out of the playoffs. The coaches are either getting fired, but then when it comes to the coaches, nobody really cares because it's not the fans' fault if a coach gets fired or if a quarterback or somebody on the team says something so outlandish and they go, well, we as people just go, well, that's their fault. That's what they get. But think about it. Realistically, the way I want to see us in 2013, see each other in a different light. Sure, some people go off the deep end and like Manti Te'o this year, remember that? How he lied about his allegations. And I should remember me in my notes. Now I don't even remember her.
And they both said that they didn't know each other. She said, I don't even know who Mankato is.
They started rolling and finally together weeks before we got our missions. Then he's gone and been from a team because of a little white lie affair with this girl. And everybody went, but whatever. Doesn't matter to us. I've had before. I don't want us to end 2013. This rambunctious responsibility. The blue happens. Take a step back and say, you know, I mean, because people think that just because these are famous people, that John Gruden and all these other guys are just making trouble for themselves. No, that's not true. Even normal people like us. Hell, I could be arrested for my comment last week about John Cena. But not going to happen. But I'm saying, if it were to happen, I would, you know what I would do if that had to happen? Whatever, everyone get arrested for my comment. I don't regret saying that. Yes, we're still going to run down. Example of that. And you've heard me mention it throughout the summer of what it really takes to be in pro wrestling. And I'll go through some of those today to end 2013, and you'll see what I mean. This is going to be the best after party you've ever been to in your life, ladies and gentlemen. And let's get started. The Carolina Panthers are 6-5. They are point favorites on the road against Atlanta. This is one of those lines that makes you scratch your head. Wait a minute. The Falcons, aren't they trash? Yes. Should they be 10-point underdogs? So what's going on here? Well, obviously, myself and a bunch of other people that love the NFL and love talking about it, people are picking the Panthers to win against Atlanta. And they're saying it's an average score that the Panthers will win on an average of 6.5. Who really knows about that? The Green Bay Packers are 3-point favorites on the road against Chicago. That's right, Matt. Aaron Rodgers is back. Remember last week when I said that, well, the coaches aren't too sure about Aaron Rodgers' contingency against Chicago. They felt he's not ready. They said that he's a great quarterback, but he just can't seem to get it done, especially when it comes to the Chicago Bears, because he's coming off a long layoff, which means, remember, he's been gone for like a month. Now he's back, and that makes people kind of nervous, especially the coaches. He is indeed the star of the game, but people say, well, Eddie Luckley should be the new quarterback, and he should play against Chicago. But who is going to run over the terrible Bears anyways? Can you run over the Bears' defense? Well, no, because Aaron Rodgers, deep down, he's hurt because he's been gone for so long. And we're looking at two highly flawed teams going for the division title that begins this Sunday. But all that being said, as much as I'd like to support Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, heading into this Sunday, I'm sorry, guys, but I'm going to go with the Bears. Matt Broderick and all of Chicago is hooting and hollering right now because I'm helping them out, cheering for them this Sunday. The Tennessee Titans are 7-point favorites at home against Houston. Ay, 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 what a terrible game that the Titans played last week. Will anyone, even fans of these two teams, watch? Well, we know our very own DDP, who's in the chat room, will watch the game, won't you, DDP? But some are feeling that the home team is going to give up the most points, which means despite their lackluster and despite what terrible games the Titans have been playing, I'm sorry, DDP. I'm very sorry, but I'm picking the Titans. Oh, boy. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 7-point favorites at home also. But that's against Cleveland. Because the Cleveland Browns were a team just good enough to screw everything up this year. They had some talent and might even be a tough team if they had a good quarterback. They played well enough to show they aren't a disaster. But that screwed them out of a great draft pick. Remember when we had the NFL draft and the assistant coach said, pick him. Pick him. He will be the best damn quarterback we've ever fucking had on this team. But leave that to head coach. The head coach and, of course, the general managers, they said, nah, we don't need him. And that was Matt Green. Remember that? From the University of Miami, same place as The Rock. But they didn't pick him. They overlooked him. And now look, he's handing out deep wins and awesome deep passes from the backfield. And then sometimes he'll go inside the pocket. He'll do a quarterback sneak, a very unique quarterback sneak. He's over there down there in Southern California helping out the San Diego Chargers. So the Steelers could make the playoffs. They win here. So I expect them to throttle the Browns and defeat the Browns so heroically, but it's not going to make them heroes, even though I said heroically. So my pick is for the Steelers this week. And, of course, we all know the New York Giants, the entire coaching staff, are frustrated about their 3.5 being favorites at home against Washington. But then again, don't beat yourselves up there, Giants. The Washington Redskins have been winning games and then losing games, winning games and losing games, and they just don't know where they're at. They haven't figured each other out. Well, sure, when you just bind together teams like this and then start working in the offseason and going to practices, this is the way it goes. And that brings another formidable question. How bad is the NFC East? These teams are trash. That means they're boring. But I'll take the home team here and hope it's a short game. Yeah, right. But I'm going to pick the Giants at an average of 3.5. The Cincinnati Bengals are 6-point favorites at home against Baltimore. The Bengals haven't lost at home all season, which is really good for them. And not only are they winning at home, but they're killing their opponents. You can blame that and or thank Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco now that he's injured, which is why the Ravens were clobbered last week. I'll take the Bengals here, but I think the Ravens get up for a divisional game with the season on the line and could manage to cover the spread from the defense or the offensive side of the team. But I'm picking the Bengals. As much as I hope the Ravens will win, I don't see that happening. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, Merry Christmas to the Colts. The Colts are an 11-point favorite at home against Jacksonville. Well, Andrew Luck and the Colts are the most underrated team going into this postseason. They are, in fact, the scariest team in the playoff series. You can see them getting bounced in the first round or making it all the way to the Super Bowl. That's a lot of points. But I think the Colts are now rolling. So the Colts have to take on Jacksonville this Sunday. I'm picking the Colts. I think the Colts will win by 11 points. The New York Jets, they're not really sure about that. You saw last weekend, the Jets head coach, he was, I mean, there's this picture obtained by the Associated Press that they managed to take of him standing off to the sideline after the game, and he just got his hands on his hips, and he's just very pissed off because he thought he was leading the Jets to victory last weekend, and they just couldn't do it. Look, Rex Ryan is a good coach. He's one of the most notable coaches in the entire National Football League. He'll probably lose his job by next weekend. But he shouldn't, because the Dolphins are decent at home, and they need the win. But whether it's New York or it's Miami, I'm picking Miami. The Minnesota Vikings are 3-point favorites at home against the Detroit Lions. Everyone is saying the Lions should hire Rex Ryan as their next head coach if he does get fired and loses this Sunday. They have a ton of talent on defense, and Ryan could shape it into a fearsome group. On the offensive side of the ball, Stanford and Calvin Johnson are great. Ryan should be smarter about hiring an offensive coordinator this time. I think he could flourish in, say, maybe coaching the Detroit Lions. But instead of all that, I'm picking the Vikings. This is a brand new way to run down the NFL. Yes, I'm doing it big and very differently right here. The New England Patriots are favorites at home. Bill Belichick should be coach of the year. Not. To do what he's done with this crew is absolutely incredible. As much as I don't like the and have such disdain for Bill Belichick and the Patriots. Buffalo, they haven't really been, they scored, you know, a lot of game-winning touchdowns. Then the lackluster and Halloween has proven their lies, so I'm going to pick the Bills. I'm going with them, even though they haven't been looking that great. Halloween, like I said. New Orleans Saints are 12 favorites at home against Tampa Bay. This is not a lot of points in a divisional game. I think the Saints will win. You got to give the boys we were close. Manning's going to go crazy on this game this Sunday. Not only will he try to set records on Sunday, but put records out of reach for the next person that challenges him. So get the criticism for the sport. But to those people, he'll say, you can stick it where the sun doesn't shine. So I'm picking the Broncos. Arizona. And you choose to pick him or not. I don't know what to make of these two teams. The Cardinals had the upset of the year beating Seattle last week. But in that game, Carson Palmer had 4 interceptions. The Cardinals should have lost because of that. But they had a magical win last weekend. Can they pull off another big win? I think, though, I'm going with the Cardinals straight up. You can take my word to the bank. Hey, the Seattle Seahawks are 10-5 at home against St. Louis. The Seattle Seahawks loss was a good thing, but I'm still picking Seattle this Sunday. The Philadelphia Eagles are 6.5 favorites on the road against Dallas, but the Cowboys don't really know how to impress people with their wins. Too it's sloppy, so I'm... But then again, like I said, they know how to win incredibly. I'm picking the Cowboys. And, yeah. Isn't that a brand new way to run down the NFL this week? We'll see what happens. More importantly, as of now, Vince McMahon, he said that there's no such thing anymore as heels and baby faces in wrestling. In the words of Stone Cold, what? We'll be right back. What? I said, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, Mick Dirty Fist. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.blogtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
By Satan, it has hearts that are torn, live a perfect life, so he can hang upon the cross, and we can take his life, so we can live as sinners, and he can fill up our eyes. Tonight he is born, so one day he can die.
You're playing like Betty White out there.
That's not what your girlfriend said.
Oh. Baby.
Whoa.
Eat a Snickers. Better?
Better.
Hey! Oh, man!
That hurts.
You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
Tryouts at the Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. According to someone in attendance at the tryouts, he had zero experience in wrestling and didn't do very well at all. For those wondering, because this is a question that was brought up on wrestling forums and, you know, everything wrestling on the internet involving our very favorite guy, the guy himself, the guy who throws down middle fingers and doesn't give a crap about anybody. And he might even stick that middle finger in your face, of course. I'm talking about the one and only Rattlesnake, Stone Cold Steve Austin. But everybody was wondering this week, I don't know why this was brought up on the internet this week, but some were asking. You know, I know Steve Austin is doing the Steve Austin podcast show. But is he still obligated with WWE? Are they paying him to do this? What is going on here? And in spite of all that, people are saying, yeah, he is. Well, we sort of know what we're talking about. Well, we really don't. Well, for all you morons that don't really know what you're talking about, shut up. Just be quiet and listen. You know, I always tell the truth right here on the Sports Opinion Show. But I'm here to tell you that Steve Austin has absolutely no contractual ties with WWE at this current time. With that being said, he's not even allowed to use a Stone Cold name in appearances, as WWE owns the rights to it. Which means if you see him on the street, just, I think it's best to address him and just say, "Hi, Mr. Steve Williams." That's his real name. I mean, I'm sure you can address him as Stone Cold Steve Austin, but I'm sure he'd say, "Yeah, I'm Steve Williams. Thank you. Thank you very much." Should the legendary Hulk Hogan be unable to compete alongside the WrestleMania 30 on April 6, 2014? Oh, yeah, you guys are... I got previews for WrestleMania. This may or may not happen in just 6 months at WrestleMania on April 6th. You're getting some exclusive news here, right here on the Sports Opinion Show. So let me start all over. If Hulk Hogan is unable to compete with John Cena in a tag team match at WrestleMania at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana, then the writers say that Cena will then face Bray Wyatt. That match will be the main event either way at WrestleMania. As things stand right now, seriously, if Hogan isn't able to go, Cena will still be in the main event with Hulk Hogan, and they will team up to face an unknown team, though. It could very well involve the Wyatt family. That is the only last scoop of yours truly made to contend on this week. WWE Chief Vince McMahon recently stated to the writers and producers, oh God, I hate to say this, but I know they were listening to what I said last week. And they're probably just backtracking and trying to backfire at me for saying it, what I said at the end of last week's show. But Vince McMahon told everyone, the writers, producers, the entire company, Cena is the main event until his time is clearly up. But right now, he said that man feeds us. That is 100% direct quote from Vince McMahon during a recent creative meeting. It was previously reported and well documented. Since he began, the original Sin Cara has had a rough time since beginning in WWE, as Mystico, as he is known in Mexico, has had several injuries, in-ring problems, and last year you all remember his big wellness drug policy violation that WWE was not very fond of. They were pissed off at him about it for it. So now, you're probably wondering, wait a minute, after a whole year, you know who I haven't seen on TV? Like that Mexican guy, the short little Mexican guy with the little mustache that was teaming with Chavo Guerrero right before Chavo went to TNA. What happened to Junico? Well, ever since last year at Christmas time, so it's been almost a year, since last year's Christmas show to this year, Junico has been playing the character of Sin Cara. He has taken up the mask, picking up wins over the last few weeks. So in case if you were sad and wondering, damn, they fired Junico. Junico is gone. He was a great Mexican wrestler for them. No, he's actually the one under the mask. He is now playing the role as Sin Cara himself. As of now, Junico is expected to stay working under the mask, and that Mystico will be quietly leaving since his contract expires on January 10th. Well, I know a lot of you were expecting to go to a potential house show on January 5th to meet the real Sin Cara without the mask on at a house show. Don't count on it. He won't be there. Because like I said, his contract expires on January 10th. The reason they are keeping the Sin Cara character around is because he's been in the first use the wrestling news today. And I usually have more than 6 to 7 half of the hour, but I have to get my phone line. I wasn't going to pick up that call. Maybe it was going to be calling back like he did last week. The Santa Claus called in last week didn't really sound like Santa Claus. I was a little conception about last week. I'm not even sure about that. Chat room last week with myself and Dee. Kind of sounded like Santa Claus calling in last week. I'm not sure of that. Ladies and gentlemen. Okay, David, please. Theo White, you had your birthday on Tuesday. It was awesome. With that money that I was hey, that's what we're here. That's how I roll on the Sports Opinion Show. All right. I'm back. I'm sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I warned you all that we might have audio problems since I am using my cell phone. That is the only way I can connect at this time right now. Wow, it's amazing that we ended up like this. But hey, it's our after party. It's our Christmas after party. Let's go ahead and jump right into Raw a little early. Like I said, I know it's not the top of the hour yet, but we won't worry about that. Raw this week presented a mystical problem. Look, I understand television. I understand the television change. The changes this week on Raw. I guarantee you, more than likely they had nothing to do with that. Never be from there. Change that. This one from Vince McMahon and Triple H. You can obviously tell that the changes that were made on Raw came from Vince McMahon and Triple H. Because when Raw started, you know, they, of course, and they kept airing the whole Bad Santa versus Good Santa and the whole dilemma storyline of, well, watch out, DDP, Matt Progress, Christmas might be canceled. Let me just say, they sure way too in on that. They really did. They went completely overboard. Not much from the board of candy, and we'll talk about that a little later on. If I run this down, I'm going to run it down first for you guys. And then we'll go back and review if we have time. We have 10 minutes extra time on this week's show. So then we're going to go back and review what was supposed to take place. Because we heard what Triple H said, but obviously that did not happen. We had the single phone match. Akron, Vicky Guerrero, Caitlin, Sonya Ray, Danielle, Alicia Fox, Natalia, the Bellatrix, Eve Marie, Cameron, and Naomi. And of course, Natalia, the Bellatrix, Eva Marie, Cameron, and Naomi, they won the match. In kind of grand fashion, I never before had seen things where all these women got in the ring and started dancing around the ring, dressed in Santa outfit gear, or maybe they were supposed to be elves. Who knows? And, of course, AJ was on commentary with JBL and Michael Cole. Jerry Lawler, of course, was not there. He was with family, they said. Yeah, a bit of an investigation on that. Make sure it's true. Curtis Axel versus Sin Cara. As I said a minute ago, Sin Cara, the character, will still be around. Curtis Axel and Sin Cara, they went all out. They left everything in the ring remotely. It was awesome to see that. And the high-flying technique that Sin Cara did was almost a replica of what Sabu did in the original. He did it out of a chair. Which was kind of nice. Very cool, very agile. I think that they should film this show through a huge rivalry between the two. So you see the fireworks. And you see the explosion that happened. The Curtis Axel guitar for a very, very special match. And I could see that happening at WrestleMania. The Wyatt family versus Cody Rhodes. Both of them, Dave Bryan. Steaming off of him high what happened on SmackDown. Albert Shield took him out, and then the Wyatt family took him out even more. But he blames Bray Wyatt for that, but the Wyatt family still won the match. And you're going to laugh tonight when I come back and review this. A Christmas present for that whole match. Ben Nangler, Tom Ziggler, Big E Langston's title. So the winner and new number one contender, Fandango, won the match. And by the way, I did not notice it in the Divas Battle Royal six-person tag team match with Summer Rae being in there. I didn't pay attention to what she was wearing before. But for this match, what the hell was she wearing anyways? Matt Broderick, you can say what you want about this. Come on, you're a free man. You don't have a girlfriend. All of us can do it. She was basically half naked. I mean, there are children in the audience. Since all Vince McMahon's doing, allowing children to come in with their parents and grandparents to a show, but I mean, it kind of reminded me of watching Sonny or Sable come out there dressed like that. I don't know what she was wearing, but thank God she was wearing it. Darren Young and Titus O'Neil took on the Usos. The Usos ended up getting the win, and they all danced together after the match to Darren Young and Titus O'Neil's theme song, Millions of Dollars. And they embraced each other and basically told each other Merry Christmas, and they told the audience Merry Christmas. Then finally was the battle for Christmas. Good Santa versus the Evil Santa. The Good Santa won. In case you didn't watch it. The Good Santa was Mark Henry. The Bad Santa. Well. There was the one and only savior of the masses. Then, of course, they had Bad News Barrett on some random corner in Austin, Texas, asking for charity money. And, of course, you saw what was happening. People on the street were just like, what the hell? What's going on here? And the first segment, you just see all these people act like they're in a giving mood to actually show that they support whatever it was Wade Barrett was trying to do and what type of charity he was actually aiming for. He didn't actually say. Because in the second segment, right after the Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro Los Matadores match. We'll get to that match in a second. But after that match, they went back to Wade Barrett. And it didn't dawn on me the first time with the first segment. But I went back and I watched it again last night after I watched TNA. I had to do it, and I'll explain that later on, too. But in the second segment, I went, hey, wait a minute. I know all these random people just walking by this one street there in Austin, Texas, because they don't realistically know what the hell's going on. They see Wade Barrett dressed up in a giddy-up overalls. He looks like he's wearing one of those, you know how you go into a restaurant and you see the cook. You see what he's wearing, his cook apron. That's the kind of apron that Wade Barrett had on for some stupid gay-ass reason. But the second time with the second vignette, I immediately caught on to what they were doing. You see this guy walking by with sunglasses and his hair pulled back in a ponytail. He goes in and he gives in a couple of change. You see somebody else, another older lady, she walks by and just throws him change. And then three more people came by and I went, wait a minute. That was Kevin Dunn, Michael Hayes, Linda McMahon, the brown-haired lady. Linda McMahon dyed her hair. That was her. So basically, to make a long story short, only company people handing him change. And, of course, Wade Barrett really playing it off, acting like he didn't know who the hell they were. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for your generosity. This is all for a good charity, a good cause. It's a very good cause. So, bad news, Barrett was actually doing a good deed. But trying to play off like that, very, very, very cool. I know some of the younger audience that we have that are in their 20s and just now coming into the fold to mix it up with us, being in our 30s, 40s, or 50-year-olds, like to a 20-year-old. Who they were. That's why I had to go back and watch it again last night. Are the people seeing him change because they were there? They're looking at their prime-time players. It was supposed to be a good script promo for him. It turned out very bad because he said that they were in Dallas, Texas. They were in Texas, DDP. He said that he was great. And of course, Castle was like, no, dude, are you trying to get us killed? We are in Boston, Texas. There was this small chant, and the small chant got louder and louder and louder. And I went, what the hell are you saying? And I wish I had, you know, go out. But I didn't need to get on my phone and video. But anyways, the fans were chanting, Houston sucks. Houston sucks. That's okay. DDP, if that hurts your feelings on Raw, don't worry about it, because whenever NorCal wrestlers wrestle Southern California wrestlers, we chant back and forth with that too. We say SoCal sucks, and they chant back to us, NorCal sucks. But really, we're all in it for the sport of wrestling. Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro took on Los Matadors. Los Matadors won in grand fashion thanks to their little bull that they have. Ryback took on Kofi Kingston. Ryback is the winner. And, of course, our main event, CM Punk, John Cena, and Biggie Langston took on The Shield. Well, CM Punk, Cena, and Biggie Langston won by disqualification because Roman Reigns speared the hell out of John Cena, and he picked him up and he did it again. By the fourth spear, referee Charles Robinson, and I didn't recognize that it was Charles Robinson, because Charles Robinson, if you noticed on Raw, he lost a lot of weight, did the same thing Linda McMahon did. I'm pretty sure they don't have the same hairstylist. But he even dyed his hair. I didn't notice it until JBL said it. He's like, referee Charles Robinson and rang for the bell. I was like, well, thank you very much, JBL. I didn't recognize him. So Charles Robinson rang the bell by the fourth spear because he had enough of it. So The Shield gets disqualified, but even more so, it was bad because, well, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, they got a match. And, hey, that's what it was. I love it right here. Now let's go back and review. Triple H said at the top of the show, did he And like I said before I did the rundown this week, remember what I said? I said it wasn't like production issue. It wasn't a network issue. The network had no problem with the matches that were in play and that were given to them to let them know what was going to take place, when and how, and who was going to win and why they were going to win. It had nothing to do with the commentator because it was, hell, it's only Michael Cole and JBL. JBL I care more about than Michael Cole, and I'm sure the rest of you will agree with me. It had nothing to do with the pyro team because the pyro team is just there for the lighting and the pyro and all the technical stuff. This was a production post-management decision at the last minute live on the air to say, no, you know what? We're going to have the women go out there. They're going to start the show. Because even though Vince McMahon himself is no longer desiring to be on television, he's letting Triple H take the reins of the company in storyline terms, but in reality, he is still the boss. He is the man. And that's what this all was. You want to talk about a crazy after party? I'm sure there were huge problems backstage. But then again, I already know that. Because there was. There was a lot of hypocrisy after the show went off the air. A lot of the crew and a lot of the wrestlers were disappointed in the last-minute change. Even Mark Henry had stated to Vince McMahon, why did you guys make that last-minute decision? Here we were all dressed, me and Damian Sandow were dressed and ready to go out there and get it over with. Which means that they had to actually stay in the ring for half the show. They didn't know when management wanted to take it back. And finally, they saw it on the Titantron Actually, they saw it on the TV screens that they had backstage. Michael Cole, you know, said, we're going to commercial, and if we come back, you're going to finally see if Christmas will be canceled. And they went, that's your way of letting us know we're next. Vince was like, no. Where's my Santa hat? You want us to go out with Santa hats? We don't have them. They come and replace them. And then, so the boss man. Like this, don't go telling the fans what's going to come first and what's going to be last, unless you're absolutely sure. Sure, it's just like, no, I know how it is because I know how it is for bands because I've had the band. But I have my the awesome band Evolving Dimension by Johan Warren, still in with his new band, and they're working on stuff. You heard me play some of their songs over the summer. Band, so awesome. It's like the interview that I had with him. Remember their drummer had said, you know, last night I actually skipped something. And then Johan said, yeah, we missed a couple of spots with our electric guitar player. He's like, hey, that's okay. As long as the audience didn't know, it didn't faze them. They didn't even notice that we had messed up, so we kept playing. That's what wrestling needs to do. If you're going to make last-minute decisions, don't let the fans know about it. But then again, we already know too much. We know more than most people, Michael Cole. Yes, you just heard me do a live shoot promo on Michael Cole. Because he sucks. So yeah, Los Matadors and the Real Americans were actually supposed to be the American, but they completely screwed me up. Didn't want to stand at the top of the show. And of course, also, it was funny to see. Michael Cole is right about one thing. Did you ever expect to see a monster who handed out candy on a Christmas show? And of course, you can obviously tell that the teenage kid that was in the front row, and he was like, no, I don't want no candy. Kane made him take the candy. He shoved it right in his chest. And then he grabbed some more candy and did it again. You can tell, obviously, the teenage kid, the kid was a plant. Probably related to somebody, maybe. Who knows? And I know a lot of people didn't recognize the elf. But the elf was Brian Grebeck. Brian Grebeck, of course, was from a former show, MTV, that tried to take off VH1 and all that. MTV tried to become their own reality stars. Reality TV is not reality TV anymore. So, even though there was a lot of food backstage, all that good stuff, they were trying to have a nice, you know, time with each other. They were trying to envelop each other with their own after party. But this after party turned into a very bad after party because people were upset. People didn't know how to react to management's so-called great change in the lineup. And you think the network cared about the change? No, because all they cared about was this $500,000 check that they get every week from Vince McMahon. They're happy about it. They don't care. USA Network is like, thank you, Vince McMahon. Good night. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you all next week. Normally, it's always usually the network that doesn't like something, and they want something changed. But this time, it was different. It was a WWE change. It wasn't a USA Network change. So USA didn't care that they were going to last the change to some of the matches, and then even though Triple H, again, saying that, well, the good Santa and the bad Santa are going to come out here right now. I mean, of course, we all saw Randy Orton come out and say that he gets the night off and he doesn't have to do anything, but he just wanted to be there he wanted to be everybody's present. He's like, I'm your gift. He even made that clear to the authority, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. And, well, but I don't even know what plans they actually have for him. I know that the reason he left was, well, because of everything that they do. I mean, just look at the Great Khali's example with all the guys that he was with on Raw. Trying to actually sing. They've put my friend at shame. And I told everybody before, when he used to wrestle here, he may be really, truly from India, great English. Just like because, you know, back in the day, me and Matt Broderick, I guess we both got busy, but me and Matt Broderick, we used to call each other on the phone at nighttime. Remember that? Remember those days, Matt Broderick? Just like we both have good English, I'm sure if the great Khali was on the phone with us, he would be normal as normal can be. So why is Batista coming back? Actually, nobody knows, and neither do I. But I'm sure this will all take place in very short order. I mean, you heard what I said during the wrestling news segment. This is our great after-party show. But we're not sure that means aftermath or after destruction. They're not even sure if Hulk Hogan will be available. God, I hope not. And, you know, going into 2014, it needs to return. It really does. It needs to return to wrestling. Two things in wrestling need to happen. If WWE wants to see their stock back up again, if they want to see merchandise sales go up again, the only thing that's leading merchandise sales and ticket sales is because of Sin Cara, Rey Mysterio. Nothing wrong with those two guys. But John Cena? John Cena is leading the pack. 2014 needs to return back to real wrestling in this country. Unbiased and uncharismatic announcers need to return to the style of Joey Styles. Because remember back in the day, WCW and ECW, sure, they had promotions to run, they had commercials and sponsors to thank. They would never do that during the middle of a match, and they wouldn't worry about, you know, what stipulations, let's say, for example, Daniel Bryan was in on SmackDown. They kept saying, well, only time will tell. We'll see what happens in the main event. And of course, JBL constantly reminding everybody that, well, hey, he should join the Wyatt family. He's got a damn long beard just like they do. Mentioning all this when Daniel Bryan and the Wyatt family are not even in the ring. So 2014 needs to go back to where it all started. Worry about the match at hand. Worry about your damn little apps that you need to worry about. Your matches. Also, before or after commercials, then, and only then, because commercials are the perfect time to throw ads in people's faces while they're watching your product. Get with it. Thank the sponsors you need to thank. Thank this company, thank that company. Thank this band for allowing you to use their music for Raw or for the Royal Rumble or whatever. But focus on the show at hand. Because it's ridiculous that, well, last night was only two guys, but it's bad when three people are trying to do commentary and they're constantly talking over one another. They're talking even over the guys that are doing promos. And the other thing, today is also WWE more so. Minute promos were great, but not so much now.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad Inventor.
Ground beef, refried beans, guacamole, cheese, sour cream, and if there's any room left, a few shreds of lettuce.
I don't see no lettuce.
A culinary creation that baffles the human mind. A 12,000 calorie salad.
Ah, caramba.
Some may ask, is your taco salad healthy? Of course it is. It's a salad, isn't it?
You can eat that deep-fried country bowl.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, conquistador of the calorie. You put the feast in fiesta.
Mr. Giant Taco Salad
said the night went to the little lamb. Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see? A star dancing in the night with a tail. Big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear? Shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song high above the trees, with a voice as big as the seas, with a voice as big as the
shepherd boy to the mighty king.
Show, ladies and gentlemen. figured it is. And it doesn't feel like it. I don't know if the 121 thing ever means everybody was in the chat room for a while. I don't know about Roger or TV. I don't know about any of you. You know about Christmas this year, but here in California, Christmas didn't really feel like Christmas. Mainly because it only rained like three times in September, and that was all the rain we got for this year. Three different weeks period of time in September was the only rain we got. Other than that, it's been last in my 70s and 80s. I mean, it did get cold off top. It never rained. So, guys, it didn't feel like Christmas because last year it's fire down, but I hope to God it doesn't rain in all. And it didn't. And again, I was hoping and praying that no rain would happen whatsoever. Rain, I hate driving in the rain. People drive like damn idiots on the road in the rain. But it happened again for the second year in a row. I got my wish. My prayers were answered. It didn't rain. So that's why it didn't feel like Christmas. And once again, it doesn't feel like the year is ending, but it is. Like I said in our last show of the year, here we walk to our radio. It's been awesome. It's been amazing. By the way, you know, tomorrow morning, we're right here on the same channel, same network, at 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. My friends, you know, 4:59. I don't know if you guys all, I know some of you were there last Saturday. I think Coffee was there. He kept coming in out of the chat room. If you were there last Saturday, you know that Roger Sobriega, he was in the house down in Northern California. And he said he was calling in his new garage. He was sitting in his car in the garage. I'm a little fun way to do the show at 6 a.m. our time here in California. He's over there sitting in the damn garage in his car at his new house. Can you imagine that? If I ever get a house, well, take that back. When I get a house, when I do get a house, when I get married, and all my kids are asleep, and my wife will be asleep, I think I'm going to try that. I've lived in a garage once before. I'm going to do that too. Do the same thing. Take a page of it. Like, I'm broadcasting from the garage. That will be awesome. Yeah, DDP. You know, guys, I guess we're all in agreement that it didn't really affect Christmas this year, which is why so short. Doesn't feel like the end of the year. Nonetheless, this is our after party Christmas show. But every year, you know, that we have a brand new year. All the time, the front spot. Let's get back in this. Because, again, the same thing with WWE happened. Something was happening last night. Oh my God! Bill Jarrett did not just say that. How could he say such a thing? What is going on? Not only that, there were only four matches. Specifically, someone on top of that, right? She ate Impact Wrestling, right? What is going on? Were we even watching a wrestling product last night on TV? don't think so. WWE also did 20-minute promos. The problem is, they couldn't really match anything to WWE standards, and then they're going to. He's part of the third, Robert, Bud, and of course Sting, they all come out to the ring, and I really want them, to do their hands. Ethan Carter III, because Ethan Carter III has been what they claim Sting and other wrestlers think that he made his way to the top because Sting had the shock, ladies and gentlemen, the rare shock. It's related to you. Well, we thought it was something important. Thought it was something really, really important that Sting was going to mention about Ethan Carter and why he's been able to cheat and win up everything so much and putting all the blame, putting everything on Dixie Carter. Well, that's nothing new. Which is why the audience booed. And they weren't just booing Dixie Carter and the nephew Ethan Carter in the third. But they were also booing you, Dave. Because that's nothing new. Everybody knows why he's been able to win charismatically shoot his way to victory. Because he was Sam Carter, loaded to her, and her being the president of the company. By Bobby Roode in the bar last Thursday night. He said, sir, the only person that knew I was at that bar was you. And this took up 45 minutes of the first hour of the show. You let all of this, including Jeff Hardy coming out and saying that he needs to be seen on the first and, of course, Jerry said, no, this is not about any of you. Dixie Carter is certainly not about you. It's not about Jeff Hardy crying and whining, whatever he's crying about. It's not about honoring the form. It's not about you, Bobby Roode. And he turned and he blasted the attack marker. He said, it's about you. You are always in my way, and he basically threw her under the bus. So from Gunnar Cameron Storm, from the TNA Championship briefcase, they all won last week. Was she ever actively involved in any of these matches with the Ace of Knights? Did she ever interfere on the Ace of Knights talk? No, she was just there for flashing. I don't know what their plans are to have her take the heat for you and kill her. We ran him back out and hey, blasting all problems on the air. Before they treat me like I'm in the air, and apologize to hell, I will. More apparent airtime, I think that I'll just lose all the matches with Roger Spud and Ethan Carter, then both were complaining that Dixie Carter. She's in the homeboy, Andy Carter. Out of control. Joseph Park took on a bad influence in a monster ball match. It got even more crazier when Joseph Park and, of course, Janice Parker, which is Joseph Park's so-called mom, Eric Young came out to try and help them. But they went and they accidentally blasted Eric Young off the ring apron. But was it an accident? Because he got up again and said, what's going on? And Joseph Park pushes EY aside, and he took the kingdom stick to the head. And he started turning into Abyss and basically selling chair shots and kingdom stick to the head, acting like it didn't hurt him. So, even though it's not actually Abyss, Abyss, without the mask, defeats Bad Influence. And they went through this whole video package of Magnus, how he made his rise to the top and everything. And it didn't look right. Lady Tapa versus ODB with Gail Kim at ringside. This was only a 4.5-minute match that was built up for nothing. Kind of like together for no reason at all. Finally, Jeff Hardy versus Ethan Carter and Roderick Spud and the Bromans with their DJ, Zema Ion. Zema Ion went from being the best X Division champion the company had ever had. Merchandise was going up. This was all within a 2-year time span. And now, look, now he's down to being basically their lackey. He's just nobody but a DJ now. Seriously, he is a nobody. What happened to the best man ever? What happened to I'm Zema Ion, the best X Division champion that will remain champion forever? Well, I guess you can throw that shit out the window, because it doesn't matter now. But Ethan Carter III, Roderick Spud, and the Bromans defeated Jeff Hardy and Sting in just 12 minutes. And then, of course, the post-match. Everyone is talking about it. It's all over the internet. Jeff Hardy grabbed a microphone and his post-match comments threw everyone for a huge surprise, and they were shocked by it. He said, I'm sorry, Sting. Sting, I tried to follow in your footsteps. I did everything I could to make TNA better. For all the creatures of the night and for all of you at home, I love you all. And he went into this crying, emotional state, something we've never seen Jeff Hardy do. And he retorted back to what he started with, what started the promo. He went back to saying it again. I'm sorry, but I was trying to tell everybody earlier tonight, he's referring to back to the top of the show, the way the show started, how everybody kept interrupting everybody else, even though Dixie Carter, Roderick Spud, had named her the Princess of 2013. She's the queen of all queens for wrestling. I don't know what the hell that was about. It's not like... What the hell was that? First of all, let's go back to that for a second. Basically what Roderick Spud was saying, Mr. Spud was saying that she's the only queen promoter in all of wrestling. Is this supposed to be some kind of candid shot to Stephanie McMahon? Wow, I wonder what would happen. Stephanie McMahon versus Dixie Carter live on pay-per-view. Could you imagine? No, but that wouldn't work because then we'd have to find other promoters for wrestling who are actually literally legitimately in charge of a company. I just put them all together, kind of like Raw did with all the Divas on Monday Night. But that's not going to happen because, going back to this segment with Roderick Spud saying that you're the queen of all the other female promoters. TNA, what the hell was that? There are no other female promoters besides Dixie Carter. Stephanie McMahon, she does have a role in being in charge in some ways. But anyway, besides the point that everybody wants to talk about is, I believe it, Jeff Hardy said he quit. He's gone. People are like, oh, I'm damn sick of these. The next thing he keeps talking about. And another people are so emotionally attached to Jeff Hardy. These are the people that are saying, Jeff, we must be here. Which is why I'm not going to people in his name. And they even continue after Jeff Hardy. Did they walk into it? Let me stop you over. Couch potato. With all Chicago. I want to check this out. I have something important to say before we go off the air, and that is this. He'll be back. This is wrestling, okay? If these guys are actually legitimately going to retire, Batista did back in 2006, and he's been gone ever since, and now he's going to come back in 2 weeks with a legitimate retirement thing. Believe. Six to less for me, but then showed up again. Everybody, it doesn't matter. On the top of the list to really, really be a fan of Jeff Hardy. Or if you're in the middle and you're not sure, some of your emotional reaction to cry over Jeff Hardy and say that the last time I've seen him. Oh, come on. This is wrestling. He might not be on television, but I'm sure he'll be somewhere. You can check this out. Ever since 2010, everybody said, well, no more Matt Hardy. You're going to see him wrestle anymore. No more Billy Kidman either. No more X-Pac and all these other guys that we grew up watching. It's wrestling. They'll either be back on television or, like I told you, Matt Broderick, last week, that, you know, that DVD that I posted online. And I'm jealous of all of Chicago because I was wondering what happened to Shimmer, the women's promotion. They packed up their bags and left California. I was like, why can't I go to Shimmer shows anymore? Because they're in Chicago. So Matt Broderick, take Corey, take Vince, take the whole crew of guys with you. Go cheer on these women, you lucky bastards. You get to see all the finest women's wrestling produced by Shimmer right there in Chicago. Damn. So it might not be on television, but somewhere along the line, you'll probably hear about it through the internet, or you'll hear by word of mouth. Or you'll probably see a commercial about it, or somebody like me will just randomly come up to you and go, hey, there's a wrestling promotion I really enjoy, and here's their card. They're going to be having a show upcoming. And if you've seen Jeff Hardy on the card, well, then there you go. You have nothing to cry about. These guys, when they say they're done, well, on TV, it might be true, might not be. But They might be at your local wrestling promotion. They're not hard to find. Because the epidemic of wrestling being real, the window years ago, thanks to Vince McMahon, telling the world and telling his performers, we can't tell the truth anymore. We can't do that. We're just going to hide behind our big logo that says WWE all over it, World Wrestling Entertainment. That's our cover. That's how we keep our shadows to ourselves, and nobody will ever know the truth about the ins and outs of wrestling. Well, that's not true either. We have the internet, Vince McMahon. We can find out who's leaving, who's going where, what promotion they're going to. And in the case of AJ Styles, who is either legitimately wrestling for Mexico or it's just a card in TNA's thing to have him do this, wrestling for two different promotions. Take a few years. I mean, hell, it took all this time, almost 8 years in the making, that now Batista will come back. It just doesn't get any better than this, does it? But ladies and gentlemen, don't worry. I think the 2014, I seriously believe, take a turn. They need to make a huge U-turn. The wrestling world needs to make a U-turn and create a different type of after party. The after party, I don't want it to become the aftermath of some casualty or some disaster taking place in the world of wrestling like it has in recent years. I want this to be the best. I want them to go back to just being regular people. They do. The announcers shouldn't be talking when somebody's in the ring cutting a promo, whether it be real or fake. Don't talk over each other, because it ruins the commentary, and then you have to repeat yourself. And don't do last-minute changes. Thank you, WWE, for that screw-up. Because it doesn't help you, even though the audience might not know what really happened, well, now they do, thanks to me. But wrestling needs to make a U-turn and find their way back. And that's the only way wrestling is going to survive. I'm not saying that it'll die and go out of business. That will never happen. Wrestling will always be around. But they just need to make it a small U-turn and get back to the level where they were at and stay there at that level. And then your stock will go up. Your marketing will go up. Vince McMahon and Dixie Carter, you need that, because don't you want to be even richer than you were before? You always care about your money. Why not make it mean something? And I know everybody says, well, I heard something going on with Jeff Jarrett. Yeah, he left the company too. He left TNA high and dry because he said that, well, they don't really want to hear him on his helping ideas and how he wants to help them. So he's going to leave them on their own. But everybody says, well, is it true? Is it fake? Did he really leave? We'll find out soon enough. I'm sure in the coming days or months, things will change and make it a true after party going into the new year. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for being here. This is our final kickoff from 2014. Once again, from the Sports Opinion Show and the NDB Media family, all of us on this entire network would like to say Happy New Year. We hope 2014 will treat you greatly as well. Take care and see ya. Peace out.